Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
And welcome, everybody, to the Libertarian Podcast Review. This is Tyler Yonke, episode 152. Interview with Josh Smith, running for president of the LP. I spoke to him in person in California, but I just thought I would do a quick intro here because I think there's some things that are necessary to say. First of all, though, because this is the way we need to do it, I'm also going to, I should have been ready for this, but I need to actually, I don't have it. I was going to bring a slide up for Fox and Son Coffee. Go to foxandson.com, put in the promo code. There we go. Fox and Son Coffee. Son's Coffee. He's got more than one, I guess. promo code review, and you get 18% off of orders of $25 or more. I'm actually drinking this coffee right now. It's 12:23 on Saturday afternoon as I'm recording this. My eye, it looks a little bit disturbing here. It's like a pink eye or something. I just did a bike ride and I got caught out in the rain and there was a bunch of road debris and it's giving me a problem. So there's still some garbage in there. I think I need to get out. Reminds me, if you watch last night's episode 151, I tell a story about dating a girl with one eye. And this is kind of what the situation is here. Okay. With that in mind, I thought I would just give a quick, brief kind of explanation. There we go. Fox and Sons Coffee. And there's some crying going on in the screen here. Let's remove that off. Because I'm going to talk about it real quick, which is this interview, I think, is very good. I love in-person interviews. So sit back, enjoy it. Do I need a disclaimer? I don't know. Maybe. Adrian Malagon is the what did they call it? President of the LP of the California. He's the chairman. That's what it is. He and Josh get into it. Josh is pretty, really pushes back against him in here. And they go online. Neither one of these, and I'm just going to pull it up on screen here. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, Josh, it starts out here. Let's see if I can find it here. They do a straw poll in California and, you know, Josh Smith has results in here. So this is what Adrian posts up here. It seems that Joshua at large isn't very popular here. Shocking. Maybe don't shit talk the chair and put your literature on tables of candidates who paid money for the privilege. And it shows here, you know, that you're just calling out. Once again, we talk about it in this conversation. I don't think this is the kind of chair, the attitude that you should be as a chair. But so be it. And by the way, I was trying to find here, the reason I even went to Twitter is because I found an explanation that I think helps Adrian's point, but it looks like maybe he took that tweet down, which was basically saying, look, come in here. We're going to do business in California. I had to take kind of this no nonsense day one, trashing everybody in a sense, just getting through business. I had a conversation with him. I totally agree. You know, that's the kind of stuff he did. And Josh says, no matter what the poll says, you're still a bitch. Four votes, sit the fuck down. These are two. One is running for president and one is the chair, LP of California. Honestly, I love both of them for the troll stuff. If you want me to take you seriously, though, for the two positions you're doing, no offense to both of you, I don't. Okay. So I wouldn't have this kind of business myself as a business owner. And by the way, I say this as someone who is this kind of way online, but I do it as my personal person. This is one is running for president and one is running for, or one is the chair, and this, they're doing it as those platforms. So, you know, to both of you, I love you. And by the way, I'm applauding both of you going at each other this way online. But if you want me to take you, both of you, seriously, in the positions you are, it's hard for me to do so. Now, they're both going to say, And they both have reasons to do so, which is I'm running. I'm bold. I stand. Okay, I get it. By the way, I could run my house that way. It doesn't mean that I trash talk my family all the time, which is kind of what you're trying to do here. Either way, I didn't even know if this is even helpful or not, but that is my take as to why I wanted to do an intro. I do need to reach out to Adrian and say, hey, you want to push back on this? Anyway, 5-minute intro, way too long. I sat down with Josh. Enjoy it. It is a great interview. And I'm just going to sit here and watch it and drink some coffee.
Josh Smith, presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. This is Libertarian Podcast Review. Tyler Yonke, of course. Josh, thanks for joining me. Yeah, flying all the way out to California just to do this show.
You know, this is my home state. Right. You know, it's where I'm from originally. So I'm always happy to come to California, just not happy to live here anymore.
So true. You know, I've lived here since 2000. I live in Northern California. You know, you were in the Bay Area. I'm over in Sacramento. Amazing weather. So when you talk about moving other places, I mean, this is the reason I think California has always been so, you know, bringing people in and everything. It's the intellectual property that you have here of people because of this weather. It's amazing. I just drive a little bit, I'm in the beach. Drive a little bit, I'm in the snow.
Yeah, and you also have the Redwood Forest. You have the Sierra Nevadas. You have the ocean. You have the great big cities too. I mean, you know, these cities are fun to, they're fun to play in.
Yes.
You don't want to live in them anymore, no. But they're fun to play in. You know, San Francisco, when growing up, was one of the greatest cities in the country. And unfortunately, it's not that way anymore. And I attribute a lot of that to Gavin Newsom, who's an absolute piece of shit. But it's, you know, it used to be a very great state, and it's still beautiful. It's absolutely one of the wonders of the world.
Yes.
But man, the politics are so bad, and the taxes, and you know, when I saw the writing on the wall with COVID, I was out. There was no way I was going to sit through that. I knew what was coming, and so I took off to Iowa, where, you know, our governor banned the mask mandate and banned the vaccine mandate. And
by the way, you know, you have I'm going to do the Adam Nutter sitting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Indian cross leg here, because it's kind of comfortable. Now I get why he was doing it. I go ahead and you don't have to. I'm just kidding.
No, I got bad knees, man. I can't do this shit.
You know, at some point, though, there's a cost analysis of, like, the benefits of all these wonderful things and just, like, shit on your family, shit on your income, all those things. So how is it with snow?
The snow's rough. It's hard to deal with. The snow is bad, but the cold weather is way worse. I mean, you know, we this year we got, like, 4 feet of snow in, like, a week and a half. And it was a lot of snow. But they're set up for snow.
Yeah, of course.
You know, by the time I get up for work at 5 a.m. or 5:15, like, they've already plowed the main roads. So I'm okay to get to work, right? But when it's negative 20 or negative 30, or we had a negative 40 with the windshield day this year, like, that hurts physically, like, to the point of where 8 minutes outside you get frostbite. And so, like, it was, you know, this is my fourth winter in Iowa. It took a lot to get used to. And even in my fourth winter, I'm still like, God, I don't know how I'm ever going to get used to this. You know, the goal is to eventually move to Florida.
Oh, okay. Is that the goal?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talk about that, but the goal now is to buy a farm, right? Because in Iowa, the great thing is you could still buy 100 acres. You know, you can buy 100 acres for about $100,000, right? You can buy 100 acres with a farm and a cornfield and a housing structure on it for, like, under $700,000.
So what's – look, besides the weather is the obvious, but what's the downside of these other great places to live?
No, there isn't really any. I mean, okay. If you can get through the weather – if you look in Iowa, especially, and I don't want any of you Californians to move to Iowa. It's my utopia. Stay away. But no, so here's the thing. Like the weather is very hard to deal with. But if you can figure out how to deal with the weather and get used to, you know, snow blowing your driveway and shit, it's very cheap. The people are very friendly. There's a lot of food. It's not the best food. California and the West Coast in general has the best food states. But, you know, it's worth it for the cost of living, the slowness of life, right? Like, that's what I like to tell people. Like, I came from Oakland, right, where, you know, everybody's talking fast. Everyone's trying to sell you something. You've got to work that way if you want to make it in a place like that. And then you come to a place where everyone's got their farm and everyone's got their home and their nice car, and they don't care about, like, you know, making a ton of extra money or anything like that. So it's not this constant grind. People are super friendly. You know, when in Oakland, when people wave at you on the street, you're like, what do you want?
Right.
In Iowa,
this guy's a good guy.
Iowa, when they're waving at you, they're waving at you because they genuinely want to say hi to you. And they, you know, everybody pets everyone's dogs, and it's like the dream of the 60s or something, right? Yeah. Like, it's still alive and kicking there. I mean, you can own a farm, you can get the corn subsidy, right? I mean, you could do all the things that people wanted to do in California when I was a kid. And you just can't go to the ocean or the forest or because it's flat. I mean, it's totally flat.
So. I grew up in the Northwest, a town called, well, I was actually in the Oregon side, went Walla Walla, Washington.
I know Walla Walla.
So it's a small valley, three little colleges there. Same idea. It's slow going. It's, you know, you can hustle and bustle, but it's not.
No.
And life is good. And I love that kind of stuff. My parents still live up there. By the way, we're going to talk about this convention, Riff Raff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I want people to stay tuned because we're gonna get to it eventually. so I just, we'll talk about some other things here. One, you're running for the presidency.
Hey, I'm running for president of the United States. Oh, man. I think the why is my children. I think that's really the honest truth. If I, you know, people ask me my why all the time, and you're always like trying to read the room and what should my why be? But the truth is, my why is I have children. I have 7 children. Who I want to grow up in a society that's better than the one that I grew up in, the one that I'm in now, right? We just went through the 4 worst years of tyranny in any of our lifetimes. I don't care what you say about the COVID regime. I don't care what anybody says about the COVID regime. That was insane. Absolutely. Insane. The constant need for more power by these people was clear to me. It had nothing to do with an illness. And so for me, I want to make sure that my kids can live in a society where they don't ever have to deal with that. And so, like, you know, I know as the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, this might shock some people, but I'm not going to win the presidency in 2024.
I heard Lars up there saying he's going.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And other candidates will tell you that. I mean,
and that is delusional.
Yeah, it's delusional. And in the past, they've said it repeatedly over and over and over again. We're going to win the presidency. You know, that's it. We're going to win the presidency. And it's like, dude, you're not going to clear 5%. Okay, but what you can do is you can do a 50-state media tour, right? You get the nomination. Now, all these bigger media platforms will have you on. We've already been on Tim Pool 3 times just in the nomination process. We're working on getting on Patrick Bet-David. We're talking to Rogan. We're talking to Sean Kyle. So we're talking to these big platforms that we can already get on. So this is what we wanted out of a presidential candidate when we started this, right? When we were thinking it was going to be somebody like Dave Smith, right? I'm no Dave Smith. Okay, I don't pretend to be Dave Smith. He's amazing at this stuff. He's really good at articulating these ideas. I think I'm getting much better, and I think I'm pretty decent out of the current crop of candidates.
Sure.
But we wanted to see a candidate that was going to go media heavy and get in front of these big, you know, alternative media platforms, and we're doing it already. And that was the goal, was to be able to do those things. So, you know, I'm going to try to go out there and move the national conversation. I'm not going to win the presidency. I would like to clear 5%. I'd like to be the first candidate to clear 5%. I think that's a moderate goal to have as a presidential candidate in the Libertarian Party, is to, hey, we're going to try and clear that 5%.
I think that's I don't think it's a moderate goal. I mean, it's maybe like a target that you want to set.
I mean,
that's an astronomical goal.
Yeah, it's astronomical for us, but I think that having that goal
is aspirational.
It's not as delusional as we're going to win the presidency.
Okay, yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so just to clear that up. Yeah. And maybe we don't. Maybe we don't get that 5%. But maybe we do, and then we get all the same things that the Republicans and the Democrats get, right? We get the federal matching funds. We get to be on the ballot in all 50 states without having to spend millions of dollars every year. They have to give us debate access. So there's a lot of important things that could happen from that.
Right.
So, like, my goal is to, you know, make a society that's more free for my children. And you know, maybe that sounds selfish of me, but it should be the goal for everybody, not just me, right? Yeah. I just am the one who's like blue collar working class guy who's like been through the trenches of like the worst tyranny of our lifetimes and decided, hey, I want to go out and tell people about this stuff. And so, like, that's my goal. That's my why, is I want a better society for my family and my friends and my community and, you know, eventually my country. But it starts at home, and all politics is local eventually.
So. Look, so you completely understand. So I'm going to take some different positions here to think. One is, it's interesting. Your reason for running is your kids.
Sure.
Dave's reason for running
was not his kids.
Not running is his kids.
Not his kid. Yeah.
Is one valid and not?
Valid. They're both valid. And I, you know, I don't fault Dave at all for that, because look, I have 7 children and a wife at home who need me. They absolutely need me. Okay. And if I had to sit down and have a long conversation with my wife about this, hey, I know.
Well, I'm being away from home so much. How is this all working
It's very hard. It's very hard. And I am still a blue collar worker. I still go to work. You know, the good thing is that I'm off 14 of every 28 days.
Okay, so you have a schedule that you can.
So I have a schedule that I can travel. and I have an amazing partner, like just one of the greatest wives you could ever have, an Italian woman who knows children very well.
Italian wife too.
Yeah, so you understand. Yeah. She's very good with kids. And if I didn't have her, I couldn't do this. But I had to have a long talk with her and explain
to make sure that she's still there when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And I had to explain the importance of this to me, and so she understands.
It is a comfortable seat.
Yeah, it is nice like that. Yeah, yeah. She understands the importance, yeah. Right? She understands because it would be her why if she was there as well. And so for her, sorry, for her, it's as important to her as it is to me. She would like to have me home. There's no doubt, and I am home. You know, I right now we're doing the Weekend Warrior stuff mostly. Okay. And the goal is once we get into the general, if we get the nomination, we get the bus like the Jorgensen campaign had, and I could take my kids and family with me to all the middle America states. And so,
right. So who said this is anybody besides me saying that this is just a grift on your part?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course it's a grift. It's always a grift when somebody steps up and does the things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, that's what it's really been about. Like the people who are calling me a grifter aren't doing shit. They aren't doing anything. The vast majority of not people like you who I love and adore and cherish.
Still
and,
grifting.
Yeah, yeah. but no, the truth is like, you know, the vast majority of people that call me a grifter, like I ask them to tell me what do you think this has gained me?
Yeah.
Yes, my podcast gets a lot more views now.
Yeah, congratulations.
Still doesn't pay me anything, right. But it gives me a lot more views, right? Yeah, I mean, Rumble, we're doing 60,000 views now. That's pretty cool.
Right.
But it's...
What happened then? That suddenly took off.
Rumble started putting us on the front page.
Oh, okay.
And that really changed a lot of things for us.
What do you think happened that they decided that was going to happen?
Well, we had already kind of talked to the Rumble coordinators quite some time ago. They were the ones that helped us get the automatic uploads to Rumble from YouTube. So I put my show on YouTube. It automatically synced to Rumble. Yeah. Well, I went to go check on my Rumble a couple weeks ago and realized that the last like 8 episodes had not uploaded. Apparently, they're in a lawsuit and they can no longer sync with YouTube.
Oh, really?
And so I was talking to Nick, who's an amazing dude that works for them. He's a consultant for Rumble. He said, "Oh, well, you know, if you can start live streaming to the platform, you know, I'll put you on the front page." And I said, "Well, that's funny you bring that up because we're starting to live stream to all 8 platforms now, right? Like big platforms, Twitch and Kick and Rumble, Odyssey, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff until we're kicked off some. I'm sure that'll happen." But and he's like, "Cool, perfect." And so the first show we did as a live stream, he put Live Now on the front page. And we had 5,000.
By the way, I've noticed that if I've uploaded, you know, over the last year or so, if I upload a video to Rumble, the views are minimal. But when you live stream there,
it's a lot better.
They do much better. Yes. So even if I'm doing like a video I've pre-recorded, I will premiere it and from StreamYard push it out to Rumble as a live show.
Yeah,
and it just always does better.
Well, and I want to be clear. We restream. We use Restream.
Yeah,
so I can stream
same
to,
idea.
Yeah, at least 10 platforms. Yeah. But here's the thing. I want to make this clear, too. The monetization on Rumble sucks unless you're exclusively Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like we're making a ton of money. No. I think with the last 3 shows, we've got 100,000 views and we made about $12. Okay. So it's not like we're, you know, you call me a grifter. But we're getting a lot more views.
I mean,
I don't mean you. I mean other people.
No, perfectly fine. Even if it was me. And by the way, the term grift is obviously meant as a derogatory way.
It's a stupid term that most people don't even understand.
I was just having a conversation with these guys yesterday, and they're talking about Dave Smith doing stuff, and I'm like, and someone did mention the grift, and I'm like, this is literally his job is comedy podcasts. You do everything to get the more. I'm like, I would do that. As advertising for my job, grifting.
Do you know what the term grifter means? Is what a grifter is?
What's the Latin? No, I don't know.
So a grifter is actually somebody who says things they don't believe to earn a following.
Okay.
Does anybody believe that I'm saying things that I don't believe in?
No.
Absolutely not.
Because we all, if we were, if we were grifting.
Hello, King Grifter. How you doing, sir?
It's Jacob
Hornberger. No, it's Jacob Hornberger.
If we were doing that, then okay, I love that. The clarification.
Yeah.
Then we would be able to do much better. Don Luker or whatever.
They're snake oil salesmen.
Yes.
That's what a grifter is. The term started with the people selling you heroin as cough syrup, right?
I believe you. I believe Dave. I believe what you're saying. And they're just because otherwise he could probably make a lot more money being right wing as an example.
Well, I say for example, I say things in public that are wildly unpopular to my own people.
Yeah,
several times a week, maybe.
Right.
Okay. So that's not what grifting is. Grifting is when you are 100% saying things that you don't believe in to try and earn a following or a paycheck. And so like I believe in the things I'm saying. I 100% wholeheartedly believe in those things. So you know. I don't know who would call somebody like that a grifter unless they're just jealous, to be honest with you.
There's that out there. I don't want to take you into too many different tangents, but what do you think of the Jack Lloyd faux Dave Smith latest little? Because you are you
very gay,
very gay. But you, but with as I said, you've been in so many gay battles.
Oh,
over
so
your
many gay battles, like the most gay battles. Yeah, absolutely. I know Jack and faux pretty well, and I've hung out with them a lot. In fact, my campaign photos that are on this flyer right here. Jack took that and edited that for me in Florida several years ago,
okay.
4 years ago. I know it looks like 10 years ago,
put that trash away.
Yeah, that litter. I'm littering. And so I love Jack. Like, I have loved Jack and Faux for a long time. I was following Faux in 2015 when she had a big platform, before any of us had a big platform. And I love Dave. Okay, so I respect both of these people. And I think that Jack is embarrassing himself entirely. I think that his ego has gotten the best of him. And he needs to calm the fuck down. And I say that lovingly.
No,
because his whole I'm the fucking face of the movement or whatever he thinks he's doing now is crazy to me, right? Like, come on,
but
dude.
This is what's crazy about this is because I got blocked. All of a sudden I found out I didn't follow either one of them. They had both messaged me on Facebook a few months ago, like about, you know, buying shit. And all of a sudden they deleted it.
Right.
And then I got blocked everywhere from them. And I'm pretty sure it was because I went on Pete Quinones' show and I did a thing about the Leo Frank trial.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That was kind of weird to me that he got this like Israel, like
intense
first and, mentality.
Right.
I don't know why he's got that.
That is, maybe he's Jewish.
I don't think he is.
It's so intense that and then he has to do the follower this and that.
Yeah. Which is weird.
And Dave jumped into the middle of that. Yeah. I think it was stupid too because they had a big following elsewhere. You don't. And by the way, Twitter. Who cares? You know. I mean, I understand.
I got 30,000 followers on Twitter, and I still wonder why every day.
Right. Yeah.
Because so most of the time, I'm just fighting with people on there.
Right.
It's a war zone, right?
So anyway, that's a
yeah. No,
I interesting about.
I like them both, and I think that Jack is being a dumbass and needs to stop. I understand that he doesn't agree with me on the borders issue, and he doesn't agree with Dave on the borders issue, and he doesn't agree with us on the Israel issue. I get that. That's fine. I have friends that don't agree with me on all kinds of things.
Right,
but
right.
Don't be a jackass like that. Right.
With that in mind, how is your? Because you said nice things about Dave, but obviously Dave's not supporting you.
Right.
So is this just like business and like, oh, I'm still friends, or do you take any of that personal?
There were some things that I took a little personal when he did the Dance Mott show where he was kind of bringing up this narrative and talking point that I know came directly from
And bring in Smots and Dave.
Smots doesn't bother me. Smots is going to always take whatever juicy info he can get.
Well,
he's the king grifter. I mean, he's the real grifter. No, I love Smots. Smots, you know, I spent the night at Smots' house. I've gone up to see
Dave.
Dave
Casey and you had.
Yeah, Dave Casey and I had a big falling out. And a lot of that has to do with that same narrative that Dave brought out on that show was this thing that's come from Heist since I started running for vice chair where I don't do anything. I don't have any support. I never say anything that makes anybody have to stop and think. And it's like, dude, you put this whole movement on my back for 4 years prior to this. And you did it because I was the one that was willing to go travel around and go to these conventions and put the target on my back. And if you can't admit that publicly, then you're a bitch. And I believe that. Now, Dave doesn't know. Right. That's the thing about Dave is Dave's not really hands on with the movement, dude. He talks about it and he goes to a couple shows here and there. But the truth is that whatever Heist tells him about me, like in that aspect, he's probably just going to go, OK, thanks, Heist. You know what I mean? So there was a couple things he said that were personal. But for the most part, Dave has helped me, you know, personally, like come to where I am as a libertarian today. I love the guy to death. I think he's great. I think he's a good comedian. I think that he's a great voice. I think that the fact that, you know, some of these platforms is amazing because we're trying to get on him now, too. And I know how hard it is. And so I love Dave. And I'm not. And I love Michael Heist. OK, I think he's being a bitch and I'll tell him to his face he's being a bitch. But, you know, I told my brother he's being a bitch, you know, and so that's how that works. And Dave Casey and I, you know, we kind of made up recently, too. And I even started following him on Twitter again.
Wow,
you know?
Look at that. People.
So I think he's wrong. I think they're wrong about their candidate. I don't think he's a good candidate. I think they're wrong about me. But I don't need them to like openly support me or they're not my friends anymore. That was never the case.
Right. And so my problem with and I was kind of trying to pay attention and then it wasn't was there was a lot of like personal shots kind of at you with that, which I understand. Then, you know, the difference then is you don't necessarily defend why you're the candidate. You're defending Josh as a person, like, and it's a little bit different.
Well, it's like you guys sat there and watched them attack me personally for 4 years, and now you're going to do it? Like, fuck you, you know? And so, you know, it is – I get it. This is one of the reasons why I hate politics, right? Like, I'm in politics. I've been involved in politics since 2007 when I worked on Ron Paul's campaign. And so I've been a part of this for a long time, and I've met a lot of people in politics, and it seems like for the most part, like 90% of the time, this is what happens in politics. People betray people. They do stupid, shitty, weird things. They're not honest. It always devolves into this. And I hate it. I hate that part of it. Cause I'm going to be who I'm going to be all the time.
And I want to get back to that, but we're going to take a slight detour real quick, which is Clint Russell. I asked him yesterday, hey, I'm going to talk to Josh. Any questions? I think I got this verbatim, but he's like, ask him how his wife's box has recovered after giving birth to the equivalent of a football team.
That sounds like a Clint Russell question. Dude, back to normal perfectly. We love it. We're right about 6 weeks, so we'll see if we make another one or not, you know?
I go, whoa. In her defense, it's more like his other ladies helped contribute. I think it's more like a basketball team. And he's like, the joke worked better the way I said it.
Yeah,
just
go with Clint's version.
I'm a little
version.
Too
offensive. Technically together we have 9 kids. Of course, we adopted my oldest daughter's 2 siblings that neither of us made. Yeah. So it's kind of like a hers, mine, ours, and someone else's situation, but they're all ours. And
libertarian.
Yeah, we're happy.
Polygot.
Yeah, you know, we're happy and the kids are happy, and we're raising kids that are independent and smart. And, you know, she's a Waldorf school person, and so she's teaching our little kids all kinds of great stuff. My 3-year-old can read already, dude. It's crazy. So,
better than his dad.
Yeah, exactly. I can't, you know, I'm basically Floyd Mayweather, big but fat and white, you know. So,
that's great. Let's get into some issues that I love dearly, which is Title 4D.
Oh, yeah.
You've really taken that. By the way, I was really impressed with how you can talk about it, because I deal with that all the time. People don't know, it's basically. You can tell Social Security Act that gives money to the states for.
It was signed into law in 1971 by Gerald Ford. And essentially, it was designed, in my opinion, to rip apart families, make them more dependent on the government. I used to say it was like $1 for every $3 or something like the $2 for every $4. But what it is actually the federal government is paying $1 to the states for every 88 cents they spend on all family law programs entirely. Right. So, you know, a lot of people will be like, well, what about child support? I'm like, well, that too, but also the court proceedings and any service programs and
just let
all
me
that
give you
stuff,
a brief so yes so yeah. In California, Department of Child Support Services, you can, if you have a child custody and support order, you want them to do it. If you have a spousal support order and child custody, they will do that. They're a third party. They'll basically, if you file a motion to have custody done, it's, you know, $60 plus, you know, da da da. This is no charging. So, in other words, part of those fees, and it's for anything they do. They don't actually have to. It's not the money they've collected. Right. So
it's like a conglomerate of services that the federal government is paying the state. And here's the crazy part. So we can dive into that all day, but the craziest part about all this that I dove into was the statistics that have started since 1971, since this happened. We went from 1 in 60 children living in a fatherless home to 1 in 4.
Yeah.
Just since 1971. That's an astronomical climb when you think about it. But with that has come a huge rise in youth violence. We see 81% of violent youth offenders in jail today, fatherless home. 92% of mass shooters, fatherless home. It was 70-something percent of runaway and homeless youth, fatherless home. The vast majority of high school dropouts are from a fatherless home, and it's all climbed. If you watch it from 1971, you watch the graph. I mean, it's climbed astronomically, and there's no denying the stat. That's the thing, is like you can say, oh, that had nothing to do with it. Go look at the stats.
Yeah,
it's very clear that it had everything to do with it. And this is more important than the gun issue or the public education issue, which is a huge deal too.
Exactly.
But the crux of this situation is that we've torn apart the family in America. It was by design. The federal government pays for it to happen all over the country. And it's something that's got to be stopped, or we're never going to fix our issues.
You know, what's really interesting, correlation with this, and because I've looked into like different states trying to basically, you know, repeal this portion, so you take it out of it. and you go, it's always interesting, the red and the blue states, how they are with child, you know, like, people are like, oh, California, I'm sure it sucks to have custody. Not necessarily. And the reason being is we have in our state constitution and the judicial forms or the statutes we have in California that is presumptive to have 50-50 custody right out of the box, right?
Right.
Now, there's breakoffs that you have there, and is it always fair? There's a lot of states, and we're talking Republican states, that do not have that. They've tried to pass it, and those states go, whoa, 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 that's going to diminish sometimes the amount of money that we're able to collect through Title 4D.
Right.
So they're like, no, 4D needs to stay there, and we're not going to have this. So you're like, oh, I'm going to be in this Republican county or right. State. Good luck as a father.
Well, here, I've dealt with family law cases in two states, okay? Oregon, which is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And Democrat-controlled, I mean, vast majority of it. Absolutely terrible. My other case was much worse. You know which state that was in? Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah.
And let me tell you, that state, I got full custody of my daughter finally after 10 years of fighting for custody of my daughter. I got full custody of her in 2020 and then adopted her two younger siblings. When I went to court for the permanent guardianship, the judge that had overseen our case for 10 years, okay, the one that I spent $100,000 fighting for my daughter to get out of this terrible, terrible, terrible situation, the same daughter that I had to pay to give me a private detective to try and find, the same daughter that these libertarian loser clowns had attacked me over, saying that I was a deadbeat dad and stuff for. I stood in front of that same judge, and he said, Mr. Smith, these kids are very lucky to have you. And I said, I need to stop you right there. Your Honor, I said, these kids are unlucky to have you. You left them in this situation for a decade, living in cars with a bad drug addict on the streets, lice, malnourished, all of these things. When my daughter, specifically, at least, had a father who wanted her, the whole time, is not a drug addict, is not a criminal, is not a drunk, none of these things, no violent record. And you left her in the care of this other person and fought me. So don't tell me that I'm lucky or they're lucky. No, they're unlucky that they had this justice system to keep them in this position. And he was just like red faced, pissed off. Okay, Mr. Smith, here you go. Here's your paperwork.
Yeah.
And so because I wasn't just gonna, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't gonna just be quiet about that. I'm sure it was probably not the right idea at the time. But I didn't care. It was 10 years of catharsis, you know, and that's a very Republican controlled state. I mean, almost as much as Iowa.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same exact things as Oregon.
And this is the short sight. And by the way, I've taken on the Mises caucus specifically because of these kind of where they point out bad things about California. And I'm like, look, you can shit on California all you want. But they pointed out a few things. I don't get into it here. I actually did a show with Tommy Sammons and...
I love Tommy. He's
great. Yeah. And, what's his name from the Libertarian Institute? He lives up in Minnesota. He's an attorney. Liberty Weekly...
I know who...
Oh, my God. It's horrible. I've done multiple shows with him.
Oh, anyway, good job.
Okay, whatever.
We'll figure it out.
This is what happens.
We'll cut it in later.
No, we won't. The people love this kind of stuff. Point is, we talked about another one was this whole thing. And my point is, you pick out these instances that are, you can go after legitimate ones. And then they point out ones that are obviously provably wrong. And then you look like a shithead, I think, because you lose your credibility, right? You start to lose your credibility when you take on these issues that you don't know anything about. Anyway, we'll move on there. What do you think about the 14th Amendment and incorporation? I know you said Dave Benner on, who wrote a little pamphlet about it, which was very good, by the way. But I don't know. Have you dug into that much? And here's my reasoning for it, because I think if you remove the 14th Amendment, which ends up incorporating all these Bill of Rights into the U.S. Constitution that were never supposed to be, that was supposed to give all these rights to the states only. And if you were to remove that, you would suddenly have like a soft divorce in this country. Why? Because suddenly the federal government would have almost no power. I don't know if you've looked into any of this stuff at all, but if you have, what's any opinions here?
So are we talking national divorce? Is that where we're going right now?
Talking about a different way of national divorce.
Oh, okay.
Which I say it's a soft divorce.
I think the Bill of Rights is good. I think that the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution as a whole, has been powerless to stop the kind of government we have now, and this piece of paper has done nothing, in my opinion. I do believe that it's still important, And I think, and I know that that sounds like a weird kind of paradigm there. But look, I think that we do need to get our country back to a place where the states make their own decisions, regardless of if that's the national divorce or if it's, you know, done under the 10th Amendment, 14th Amendment, any of these amendments or the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. I don't care. What I care about is that states have sovereignty. That's how this country was built.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the founders intended. And they're supposed to be able to do their whatever they want. When we talk about this immigration issue in specifically in Texas, okay, we had 6 million illegal immigrants flood across the border of Texas just last year. That's an invasion. By all means, by all definitions, yeah, yeah, that's an invasion. I don't care if you get mad at me for saying that as a libertarian. The truth is that in the Constitution, there is no provision whatsoever that says that the federal government or the president of the United States has any say over what the states do with their own immigration, except for it gives the, it doesn't just give the right to the president, it gives the duty to the president to stop an invasion. Okay, so our federal government has failed on all fronts. On all fronts, including the immigration issue, including anything constitutional at all. I think the Supreme Court has let these things fall by the wayside as well. So I don't put a lot of stock in the Constitution. And I'd rather talk about the founders and their, what their vision was for the Constitution and for the Republic. But they're not. You know, they're not adhering to the Constitution. They're constantly trying to find ways to rip it apart. They're constantly trying to find ways to impose this federal, centrally planned bullshit on the states and sovereign, you know, these individuals around that live in these states. And it needs to, I worry for my children, and one of the reasons why I'm running this campaign, that at some point it's going to be enough. And the, you know, the people of America are going to be like, maybe it's time to turn off, the Jersey Shore or whatever bullshit they're watching, stop eating these, you know, seed oils and drinking all this sugar and get in shape and train, and it's going to get scary. And I talk a lot about the Civil War on my show, not the original Civil War, but the current Civil War that we're in now.
Yeah.
Because I think the Civil War has already
like
started.
Like a cultural one?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, when people talk about the Civil War and they say, oh, well, you can't fight, you know, government jets with your AK-47s or whatever. That's not what the Civil War is in 2024. The Civil War in 2024 is opting out of the fiat currency system, right? The Civil War is by you know, whether it's Bitcoin or whatever you want to use. I prefer Bitcoin. I think it's the way forward. It's printing your own firearms in your basement, you know, with a $350 Ender printer, right? It's growing your own food and opting out of the corporate farming structure. It's all of these things that we're doing. It's homeschooling your kids. It's opting out of the corporate news media. This is the Civil War, and it's happening, and we're winning. Okay, people think, oh, you're, when you talk about these things, oh, no one's doing that. Oh, dude, more people every day are doing these things. Every day we're adopting Bitcoin every day. We're opting out of the federal farming structure every day. We're opting out of even having to register our guns. I mean, I live in a state right now where I don't have to register my guns. And so we are winning.
Live in California.
Yeah, we are winning on some of these fronts, yeah. You know, and that's the Civil War. And I am afraid of violence. I want to say that. I want to be clear because I don't want my kids to go through that. I'm not afraid of it for me. If it comes down to it and we have to fight, I'll be the one fighting to make sure that my kids don't have to, right? But I don't want it to come to that for my children now. I want them to have a normal life where they don't have to grow up in one of those things. But I think that the way to do that and the way to win this is to continue to opt out of these federal fiat systems, right? These systems that they've decreed are the only legitimate systems. And they use the Constitution several times.
Yeah, yeah.
To do these things.
By the way, you being scared of violence, we're going to get to you and Adrian in just a second.
Oh, I'm not scared of that kind of violence, buddy. That's a different kind of violence. I enjoy that kind of violence.
By the way, I don't know if many people... I actually looked into all the filings and the pleadings with the current case of Texas in the Department of Homeland Security. And what's very interesting there is I thought it was actually very astute. And by the way, the Governor Abbott, when he talks about it, he's not actually doing what the lawsuit itself is, which is it's a suit against the federal government for a few things, but two claims in there are trespass and conversion to private property.
Right.
There's a lot of private property
on the border,
which is fascinating. I just heard Bob Murphy, Dave Smith talking about, you know, open border stuff and the open borders people. What's interesting, they're like, oh, we don't like this lawsuit. And I'm like, that lawsuit specifically is protecting private property owners. That's part of the thing there.
Right.
So what? Now you're against private property.
Right.
Jacob Hornberger got here, but you know they won't. They don't know the specifics, so they see this suit and they go, "Oh, the states are trying to control, and we want open borders." So anyway, we don't have to get into that. But I think another
really important thing, because I read the original border bill. Yeah, actually went through it right before I went on Timcast, and I brought it to Timcast that there's a provision in there that allows all of these matters to be heard by the D.C. District Court from now on, and it says verbatim whether constitutional or not. So they actually, when they were trying to bring this border bill forward, the original border bill, the whole point was to take it out of the hands of the Supreme Court, take it out of the hands of the state, and put it in the hands of what the most corrupt district court in the entire country, purposely. And it was like on a page 112, okay, like of this bill, way deep. And I read bills now. I'm running to be president. I got to read bills. Right. It's important.
No, I've heard you talk, and you seem to know a lot about little things.
A lot more than I did 5 years ago, for sure. You know, I used to be these platitudes, right? Abolish this, abolish that. Yeah. Now I'm like, well, I got
to
know.
How does that actually happen? And so now you have to know.
Yeah, and you know, that's how I also came to terms with the fact that, much like Vivek did, that we don't have the power as a president to abolish a lot of these agencies, but we can cut 75% of the workforce and send other guys to maintenance departments.
Well, you say that, but then, I mean, Biden just said, you know, the loan forgiveness stuff. Yeah, the Supreme Court knocked me down, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, he's doing it anyways. Right. And that's by executive order. And I don't know how he's getting away with that. I have to look more into that, because it may be something that he can do by executive order, to be honest with you. But the Supreme Court's going to fight it. Yeah. They're still going to fight it. And there's things that I would do that I'm sure the Supreme Court would fight as well. You know what I mean? If I was president, my elbow would be, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, libertarians don't like executive orders. I'm like, bitch. I'm going to sign every executive order I possibly can to abolish every single thing I possibly can. You know, why wouldn't you do that as a libertarian?
That's the idea right now.
You wouldn't do that as a libertarian, get out. You know, but I think the really important fact when we're talking about some of these agencies is the Federal Reserve. The president cannot abolish the Federal Reserve, but you do direct the Treasury. Right. And so directing the Treasury not to take any more federal fiat dollars from the, you know, printed fiat dollars from the Federal Reserve, you do get to nominate the Fed chair, which, you know, you bring somebody like a Ron Paul or a Bob Murphy that is going to bring their bat in and start tearing down the walls. Right. I think at some point in 4 years, we do enough damage where we could make a case to Congress to, hey, let's rip up the charter. It's time to get rid of it.
Because that's a huge point. And the reason being is because when you institute some sort of policy or program, it just blows from there. And then everyone's like, well, it's always been here. Well, no. It got implemented somehow. It hasn't just always been here. So, yeah, the destruction from the inside to the point where you're kind of like, maybe we don't
you're like,
need
this 1913 charter is worthless. Time to rip it up, you know?
Speaking of feds, I don't know if you heard Toad is now a fed.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He's got a couch that has electric in it. You know what I mean? I'm sure.
So when I say audit the Fed, I just mean, where's
audit
the
Toad,
where's the tower game money?
Yeah, we want to see all the prop bets you made, buddy. You're going to need a list.
So speaking of him, going down, I was talking about this with Nutter too, the convention. That's the one debate I've listened to, the Georgia one. It was engaging, and I thought Toad was exceptionally important. One, he's a troll, but he also said some pointed things, and he made some people. And this is where I was like, this is the kind of thing where Dave Smith would be the excellent.
Oh, sure.
He's a comedian. He plays off of this, but yeah, you can be serious. So I thought you were the only one. One, you're friends with Toad. He didn't take shots at you, and you can do this trolling and then also say your serious stuff. And I thought it was evident of the other ones who didn't know how to treat him.
Right.
And it's like, you don't necessarily discard him. You make jokes with him, and then you've got to say your own personal stuff. So I thought for that part, it was really revealing. How was it being there, and did his feet stink?
No. He's got very clean, nice feet. He definitely manicures those toenails and everything.
Hobbits are known for their...
When the picture came out, my wife actually said, those aren't real feet, right? Those are prosthetic or something? Are they fake? And I said, no, those were his real feet. He takes care of them.
That's what happens when you have diabetes.
Yeah,
anyway,
he takes really
ahead.
Good care of them. No, it was helpful having Toad there because, one, it pumped me up.
It didn't make you have to be that.
No,
that
and
guy.
I knew that it was, you know...
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was helpful. I sat next to Toad on purpose.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going to pump me up. He was also going to say all the things that I felt. You know what I mean? And I was going to be able to be the moderate voice in this position. And I love Toad. I don't care what anybody says about Toad. He's one of my very good friends. One of my best friends. And I give him a lot of shit. And we all do. But we love him. He's like our little brother. Right? So it was great to watch in person, man. Especially sitting right next to him. And him going at Hornberger. And even he went at Rec. And he went at Chase. And he went at everybody except for me. And he went a little bit at Termont too. But he of course he wasn't going to go at me. Anybody who knew about this debate prior knew Toad wasn't going to go at me, and I wasn't going to go at Toad. That's my friend.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. You know?
Well, yeah. And that's also why he's not going to go at you.
Yeah. We agree with each other, and he's going to take it further than I'm going to.
Yeah.
But that's just because he doesn't have any aspiration, to take it further, right? And so it's kind of his, that was kind of his like Super Bowl, right? He's like, all right, I'm up here with all these guys, I'm gonna fuck them up.
And I thought
he did really good.
It was crazy. So yeah. I want to transition into the California convention that we're out here with. You know, we're talking about that. So now we're here, and what is different about, and I want to talk about the structural, the payment stuff, pay to play in a sense,
yeah,
compared to every other convention.
Every other California convention prior to this.
Okay.
I've been to 200 state conventions over the last 7 years. That's a lot of fucking traveling, dude. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars, hotels. There's been times I slept in a bathtub in Arizona Airbnb at Adam Kokesh's Airbnb in 2018. I slept in the hotel lobby in Louisiana at the Louisiana State Convention in 2018. I mean, I've been through some shit to do this stuff. And I'll tell you, it's not cheap to go to any convention.
Yeah.
To any convention. I pay, you know, this is a minimum of $1,000 for me to just be here.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, hey, you got to pay $5,000 to be in this debate, I'll be like, sure. Is Joe Biden and Donald Trump going to be there? No. Then no. Sorry. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit about Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah.
Right? Why do I care about Bobby Kennedy? Bobby Kennedy's not even going to get on the ballot. Okay? A lot of people don't understand how ballot access works. This guy will be lucky to be on 20 state ballots. Lucky. That's why he's courting the Libertarian Party right now. Because we have infrastructure.
Yeah.
We're already on at least 48 ballots. Right? And so I don't care about debating Bobby Kennedy. Now, if you had said, hey, you're one of the front runners, you want to come and debate Bobby Kennedy, I'd be like, sure. They'd be like, okay, you got to pay your own way. Perfect. No problem. I paid for my flight here. Okay. I paid for my Lyfts and my Ubers and my hotel and the thousands of dollars that we spend to come to these things.
Right.
And so if you're going to tell me I'm going to pay $5,000, it's fine. I just won't do it. But I'll still come to the convention because you're not going to stop me from coming to the convention.
Right.
Especially in a state that I was a state party member of for years. Right. And I was on the XCOM here and all that stuff. So apparently some people took that personally that I refused to pay, even though other candidates were here.
Let me ask you about what about a table to have out there?
I didn't have a table.
Okay.
I didn't buy a table. No. And
how much are those?
They were $1,000 or something. I mean, it wasn't cheap. And it wasn't,
normal though?
No. Typically, I mean, we usually get tables at state conventions for $50 to $100. Okay. So I'm not going to pay these inflated prices. Your market, tactics didn't work with me, and I'm still going to show up because you know what? There's a lot of people here who are my friends who support me, who I've served on committees with. So I'm going to come, and you're not going to stop me from coming. I mean, the business is free.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's the price of things is definitely different. If California raised more money than they typically have, good for them. They didn't. I'll tell you that. I've seen these state conventions raise $100,000.
But I will say this. According to, I think they did make
$30,000 last night.
Yes. I think
these state conventions have raised $100,000 before.
I totally understand.
So, but here's the thing. So, yes, that's different, but also the whole structure of the thing and the, you know, you got to do what we say crap is not normal of conventions. And I understand that a couple years ago there was some pamphlets being passed out that said Adrian was a Nazi or something like that.
Yes, literally.
Which is funny because do you know how many state conventions I've showed up to where they were passing out literature about me being a deadbeat dad, about me being a Nazi, right, about me being a couch surfer, about me being a grifter, about, I mean, probably 20.
I helped edit at least three
of
those.
Yeah, probably 20, right? I don't give a shit. I don't care. Like, pass out your stuff. I don't care, right? So I understand why that rule was put in place, but if it's a presidential candidate passing out their own pamphlets, especially a guy who's been a member of your XCOM and all this stuff, like, just shut the fuck up. And
so I didn't know there was a rule now about...
Yeah, I didn't either until 2 days before the convention. Okay. And so I wasn't going to submit my flyers and my business cards and shit to be approved by a state convention. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I don't have to. And so I did. I didn't. And then I passed out my stuff because I was going to do it anyways.
Now, you could have, though. Why didn't you?
Because I didn't want to.
Okay.
Why would I?
Well, I don't know.
I do what I want.
Lars, he had his thing on my chair this morning, a card there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm sure he got it approved.
Okay.
That's really cool.
So you could have done that. You said, hey, I'm not going to.
2 days ago when I found out about it, but I wasn't going to.
This is, by the way, very interesting to me because I know Adrian. He's the LP chair.
Yep.
Not well, but, you know, we've interacted and hung out and stuff. I know you. I know Toad. And I'm seeing a lot of similar...
Oh, sure.
characteristics.
It's troll versus troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, not even troll. It's, so I mean, this is what I actually said to some guys yesterday, because we started in an LP, and I mean, we're going in there and we're doing business, and two people had resigned the party because of Adrian and because of national stuff. Right. Now they wanted to come back in, and they're like, there's bylaws that say you can't come back in. So people are all upset. Now, Adrian is very caustic in his language. And so I asked these guys later, I go, what about his demeanor? I mean, is, because he was just, he's just rude. He's up there this morning even just making comments, and it's just, you know. Yeah. I'm like, is that, one, you're running for president. Right. You've been in these situations before.
It's not proper for a chair at all.
Okay. But I will say this. I could see you doing the exact same thing if you were up there. I don't know if you would.
I wouldn't.
I've only seen you
as a chair. And I've chaired LNC meetings before, you know, especially right after I won that vice chair role. I chaired the LNC meeting for Angela in certain spots. And no, I would never act like that as the chair. The chair is supposed to be impartial and unbiased. That is the absolute 100% rule of a chairman, because you're overseeing people who don't agree on things.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to push the direction of things as the chair from the podium, that's a really bad look.
Now, I will say, one of the things he pushes, which I get it, but maybe this isn't the party for you then, is you guys are wasting so much time.
Yeah.
They waste so much time over little things.
Welcome to the Libertarian Party.
And so he just gets fed up and frustrated, and then he's, you know. So I'm like, as someone who's like me personally, I could bring the German out. Yeah. I will, you know, when I'm in court or my wife or whatever, I'm neighbors, I'll fuck you up, you know, with my words. But I probably wouldn't do that in there, because I'm just
You can't. I mean, it's literally that's not your job. Your job is to help the thing stay on track.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. But you have to abide by the rules that the party has set. And the rules that the party has set is Robert's rules. And you're supposed to be an impartial mediator. That's the goal.
Now, with that said, he set rules, which you then don't like some of
those. Yeah, that's an arbitrary rule that makes no difference to me. It has no teeth at all. It's not a bylaw.
No, but it's still what they're
holding.
It's
not a convention rule even.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I totally get not paying, right? So, but they're here to make some money.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So this
cool.
is
make
one
money,
of the ways,
dude.
This is one of the ways he's doing it.
I didn't impede them making money.
No. And by the way, I want to kind of push with you, but come on, your side.
Yeah, you got to do it, dude. I know, I get it.
but so what was interesting? Let me go kind of circle back here with the RFK Jr. thing. I have no problem with him, Cornel West, Jill Stein. Coming here and speaking to like, because this is what I've said over and over since RFK kind of came into this thing. I'm like, I'm sick of, you get it with all these parties. Someone is like a gleaming light, maybe a black guy in the conservative movement. Now everyone's over here. Or Dave Rubin comes into the conservatives. The next thing you know, it's moving his direction. I'm like, why don't we use these motherfuckers rather than them always using us? And RFK comes in. Maybe this is using him, right? Where we get some more notoriety, but he's not going to be our nominee.
I think we'll probably get some more media attention, which is important. Will it convince people that we're more like Bobby Kennedy, or that Bobby Kennedy's more like us, though, is the problem, and that worries me. But I don't.
That's where you have to be certain.
And I don't knock the California. Listen, the California convention's great. I think it's been great that they had these people here. Awesome, really cool. I know that Jill Stein is actually not coming. She called and said she was sick, so she canceled. But it's a great thing, like, to have more people involved and get more eyes on things. And I agree with that. The barrier to entry for libertarian candidates was gay.
That part I do have a lot of trouble with. Letting
Bobby Kennedy set all of the guidelines for that panel. Very
what,
gay.
Did they?
Very
I didn't even listen
gay.
To the faggot. What's the faggot gate? What happened to that?
This is actually what happened, and I'm not going to name the man who stood up and said these things, because I talked to him last night and he doesn't want to be named in it. But I will say this. They let Bobby Kennedy set all the guidelines for this thing. No one was allowed to point at him. No one was allowed to address him. No one was allowed to talk about his policies. The security guards had to be on stage and in the crowd. You had to have everybody patted down and metal detected to make sure there were no firearms at a libertarian event. Very gay. And so he got to kind of direct the whole thing. And it's like, and these other guys paid to be a part of this, right? This $5,000. Some of them paid $3,000. I know there was some different prices. So, like, you have these candidates that paid all this ungodly amount of money to debate a fucking nobody.
And was it even a debate? If you can't have
those principles. No, it's not. It was a panel, and it wasn't even a debate. So they paid to get up on the stage, and Bobby Kennedy was let to cut them off repeatedly over and over and over again, but they weren't allowed to cut Bobby Kennedy off. And so somebody in the crowd took issue with this. Shut the fuck up. I want to hear them speak. I want to hear our candidates speak. That's why I'm here. We're not here to see Bobby Kennedy. And that's what he stood up and said. And then they kicked him out. They used the sergeant arms to actually put a chokehold on him or whatever and pull him out of the
was
building.
Was it his security or was it
I won't name him, but that was the actual convention master at arms.
Okay, I know him.
And yeah. And so on his way out the door, he just let everybody know that were faggots.
And that's what he yelled at.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, hey, I don't know that he said anything that some of us weren't feeling already. Right. You know what I mean? And
so I thought, totally out of context, I thought it was just like yelling up there at maybe Larry Sharp or someone, faggot. But it's like, oh, you're dragging him out for... Is it the right thing to do to yell up in the... Because
no.
It's, yeah, probably not even the first place. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't yell at this. What I would do is just like... In my own mind.
Yeah.
Faggot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have... Anyway, that's all crazy. So, there was that. There was also a hot mic issue, which I listened to this morning. Crazy motherfucking stuff going on.
Baby shit.
It's live streamed out there. And,
baby shit.
Yeah. And so, you want to describe that? You know the situation?
Yeah,
and
I know the situation.
I'm just going to say, if Adrian wants to talk to me about it later, I'll totally do that, but I'm not going to record with... He's busy today.
Yeah, I listened to the hot mic, but I also know Ovens O'Brien, who I've known for many, many years. This woman travels around all the time on her own dime, takes photographs for the party. She's taken hundreds of thousands of photographs for the party. In fact... Adrian's current default photo on fucking Twitter is Ovens O'Brien's photo. Okay. It's got her watermark on it.
Yeah.
And so he was really pissed off because she asked him some questions on Twitter that he refused to answer about. Did Bobby Kennedy and these other people have to pay to be here? Of course they didn't. We know they didn't. But the candidates had to pay to be here. But she just asked. Ovens is me and Ovens see eye to eye on very little things. There's things that we vehemently disagree on all the time. She has always been nothing but respectful to me. To me, who's an absolute troll.
By the way, she took a black and white photo of me at lunch yesterday. Good picture. I'm like, how'd you do that?
She's the best. And she does this for free all the time. You can go get your photos for free from her. She's not going to charge you for them. You have a headshot that will work for anything.
So did she not pay to be the photographer? Is that what was going on?
Or? I don't... In the hot mic moment, very clearly he said she's been shit talking me and blah 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 blah, but that's not the truth. On Twitter, all she did was ask him the questions about Bobby Kennedy.
Now, is that
calmly.
The only thing though, or is she like supporting
well
that he doesn't
so
like,
after that after that he someone was talking about Ovens being the photographer here online, and he said Ovens isn't even involved with the party or something, and he said that while he has her picture as his Twitter default. And so that at that point, she said, what do you mean I'm not involved with the party? I've been involved with the party. Her parents were libertarians. She's like a second
now,
generation.
Now, did he mean California, like a delegate?
But she is. She's a California delegate. She's literally been a member. She lives here. Judd Weiss is her husband, dude. She lives right down the street. She's been a part of the Libertarian Party of California for 15 years. Okay, so, and she's from New Hampshire, which makes it even crazier.
Right.
And so... So for him to stand up there, and I mean, that was like a fucking childish meltdown on a hot mic from a chair. You know what I mean? Like, that's not cool, dude. That's really gay. It's very gay. And so I posted it because people need to see who this guy really is. I mean, he's not tough. And then he's retweeting me, my post about him saying he's going to kick me out last night and calling me saying, won't you be a man?
Did he kick you out of the...
No, he fucking didn't kick me out, dude.
Did he threaten to?
He did, yeah. He threatened.
Of what?
So he walked up to me with one of my flyers folded in half and said, I've been picking these up and throwing them away when I see them. You're not allowed to hand these out here. I said, I'm going to keep handing them out. He said, I'll have security kick you out. I said, fucking bring it. And then he walked away. So I posted about it on Twitter, and then he said, next time when I'm talking, you don't walk away from me, when he's the one that walked away, and said, be a man or something like that, okay? Nobody, he said, you're at a convention you weren't invited to and didn't pay, and couldn't afford to be
Josh.
At. Dude, I don't need an invitation to come to California. And so I quote tweeted him and said, look, I didn't walk anywhere. I'm still here. If you want to be a man, I'll be out front. Bring your security. Seriously, because I don't know if he's confused me for one of these political dorks, but I'm from Oakland, man. I don't fuck around. You know what I mean? And so he hasn't said anything.
Josh
since.
Saying he has street cred. That's what he's saying.
I do. I do. I absolutely do. I mean, you ask my boys where I'm from. I promise you, they'll be like, don't fuck with that guy.
What I'm really saying is here, Josh says he has black friends.
I do have those too. Yeah. More than most people, actually. But it was funny because, you know, he told me to be a man, but he had to go and call a security guard.
So. Let me ask you this. So I've been producing.
Basically, he's a little bitch.
Okay. I'm perfectly fine with that. I've been producing Tower Gang, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that, but that's...
I do know that, okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm in a production group chat with them, and of course, Toad can't help but talk about this whole situation. But he's more worked up and misinformed about it all. So his whole thing is like, he's like, look, the whole California party is cucked. This guy is...
Yeah, it sounds about how Toad...
Right, and I'm like, I go, well, no, actually, you know, Adrian's a meacock. We've got problems from the other side. There's this guy, Starchild, out here wearing a lion... outfit this morning from the Wizard of Oz, but with a thong.
Yeah, that makes
it's
sense.
Gross.
Yeah, that makes
and,
sense.
And he's Adrian's against that.
Yeah,
but I don't know that Adrian's a leader that we necessarily
that's not
need.
A leader. He's a man child.
But us taking over, and I say us because it's part of it, is not the cucked part of this party.
No,
He's just... I don't know that this is
the vast majority.
By the way, I love you, Adrian, but I have a real problem with kind of this demeanor stuff.
Right. Well, and here's the thing with the truth is that the Mises Caucus in California, still a lot of them support me. This isn't about the Mises Caucus. I want to make that very clear. It's about him as a person. He's a giant man child baby bitch. And I'll say it to his face. I'll go tell him right now at the podium.
Okay, we'll
I
take a
care.
Pause.
But that's the truth.
No, because there's security up there.
Yeah,
just
I don't,
for
and
you
I
now.
Don't care. Okay. And so, you know, I think that, like I said, I think he's confused me with one of these political dorks and doesn't know who he's talking to. I know all my friends would tell him that's not the guy you want to do that with because you're a tall, skinny beanpole, dude. You're going to get hurt. And so, like.
So you think this stems back from the Angela
I think
going
so.
To national?
Yes, yes.
Because that was a lot
because,
of problem in the
Discord.
Because
when he quote tweeted me on Twitter last night, he said, I do more in a day than you've done in your entire existence. I said, who the fuck do you think you are?
Look, I know you say those kind of things to you because you got a lot of cred with the... I don't know that I care.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. Yeah. I guess there's people... Like, by the way, I'm going to expose this here. I got asked by the Sacramento County Libertarian Party, affiliate, whatever it is, to be a member because they didn't have one for secretary. I'm like, you know, I need to get more involved. Yeah. So they nominated me. I am derelict in my duties because I don't do shit.
Well, here's the thing.
You do the stuff.
He said I quit everything I've ever been elected to, but I was an at-large representative on the LNC for two full terms without quitting. And I actually had to set through one term where I had to fight Nick Sarwark as the chair the entire time, and another term where I got Joe Bishop Henchman to resign. I got him to resign. Don't let anybody tell you that it was anybody else. I called for a motion to have him release his email correspondence with the New Hampshire affiliate. He resigned the next day and deleted all of his emails. I got him to resign. I did that. And so
Josh Smith.
Yeah. And so you know, say that I didn't do anything. That's fine. I know what I've done. I know what value I brought
we
to the
do.
Party
so
since
I,
I've been around.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. You know, he's obviously got some kind of deep-seated fucking issue, and I'm okay with that. But if you're going to call me my manness into question, bring your security guard and let's go outside.
So there we go.
Because that's how I handle shit.
We got Josh's side of the story. I absolutely love it. I knew that's what it was going to be. And yeah, so this is, look, dude, I flew into town here. I'm one of my best friends from high school. I'm staying with him in Newport Beach. And, you know, he knows about this stuff. He's kind
in the gated community in Newport Beach?
But it's walking distance down there. So, nice. He's done well for himself. Super good guy. He's kind of interested in the libertarian stuff. And first time I came, did this when it was in Long Beach, two, 3 years ago. And first time I'd really been involved in this stuff. And I'm doing all the bylaws. I'm seeing all the arguing, the infighting. And I go back there and they're like, oh, how was it? And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to you about anything about libertarianism. I can't believe this. It's
I can't believe I'm still a part of this shit.
It's killing my spirit. So I come down here simply to now do this kind of stuff because I should be in there voting, but I'm also
this is actually fun, right? This part is fun.
Yeah, this part is fun. So anyway, whatever. Dude, so what do you got going up next?
Oh, so next week I'll be in New Jersey. Saturday morning I fly to New Jersey. We'll do a debate there in the evening, and then we're driving from New Jersey flying to Pennsylvania. Doing the debate in Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and then we're leaving there after the debate, 9:30, to go to New Jersey. Sunday morning, I'll be in New Jersey for their convention and a debate as well, and then I fly home. We've also got Texas. We're going to do Kansas and Minnesota in the same weekend as well. We're driving both of those and doing live podcasts in Minnesota with Ryan and AJ will both be there as well.
Okay.
We'll be in, I believe, Michigan. I'm trying to do something with Washington. So there's a lot coming up, and then of course the national convention in Washington D.C. in May, and that's where you know the wheat and chaff get separated, and we find out if we get the nomination. If not, that's okay. I go home to my family.
What do your co-hosts bring to your podcast?
Nothing. Nothing much. No, I'm just kidding.
How many viewers did they drive away?
Actually, we are at the highest viewership we've ever had. So Top Lobster could kiss my entire ass.
No, I'm Team Top Lobster on this one, by the way.
I know. And I go back and forth on being Team Top Lobster on it, too. But no, look, Ryan's one of my best friends. Ryan and AJ are two of my best friends. Yeah. They come over and hang out with my family, and we love each other's kids and stuff.
So. Having people in there with you, and by the way, when you're doing, and if they're interested in doing that, you can't. Like I told you, I had this cycling podcast, and I had this friend that was all he would. He was so smart, and his best thing was just ripping the shit out of me.
Right.
Like, just taking me. And I'm like, you and I have to do it. And we were so good. And then he's like, he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well then, you've lost some of this.
Yeah, well, that's what's good about Ryan is me and AJ can just rip the shit out of Ryan on the live show.
I'm sure he doesn't think the same thing, but no, he seems to take it.
And AJ is really, really, really fucking good on most things. I think he's bad on the moon landing. And that's why Top hates him. And he's an atheist, right? He's the only atheist on the show. Me and Ryan are both like hardcore, hardline Christians. So,
but so the good thing about having other people, you can spread out also like content, right?
Yep.
Do they help you with that?
Yeah, a little bit.
And so it doesn't sound like they're pulling
Ryan's not pulling his weight. AJ doesn't do shit, but I love AJ, so it's okay.
Okay. We all have that.
And one of these days, we're going to bring him to Jesus, too, I think.
Could happen. Yeah. I mean, I'll just say this. In the Targain group chat this morning, Clint posted twice some black guy singing gospel hymns.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay.
Good job, Clint. I'm proud of you, buddy. I think Clint's dealing with the Nephilim enough now that he's going to find God. You know what I mean?
You know what I love? Like him, Reed, some of these other people, is they're not those atheists that are just
edgy 14-year-old atheists. Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like they're not putting it in your face. And matter of fact, they understand like culturally that would you rather live in a society with, you know, with Christians or maybe these atheists
That want to trans your kids.
Right. And it's
fun,
like, I get it. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really funny. And there's this ideological battle in Christian spaces even right now over Israel, right? And the truth of the matter is, and I had this conversation with my wife, who's really big on she's like, well, I feel like I'm kind of Jewish. I said, no, you're not. I said, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, well, yeah. I said, do you believe in the New Testament? Well, yeah. Well, then you're a Christian, because that's what Christians believe. Jews do not believe in the New Testament or the New Covenant or Jesus Christ. And so like my message is to Christians, and this is something that I want to kind of push with the presidential campaign too, is you're either a Christian and you believe in Christian values and you believe in Jesus and the New Testament and the New Covenant, or you're not a Christian. So either get your shit straight and start understanding that Israel is against the New Testament and against your religion, and this Judeo-Christian thing that you've made up is only to control you, or you're Christian. I don't know.
Totally. What's interesting is, you know, me growing up kind of the neocon right winger, but always kind of libertarian,
evangelical Christian family.
Yeah. But I never, you know, and then you get into libertarianism and all of a sudden things are like, well, and that's what they're like, the cops, wait, war?
Little
what?
Bit of noticing going
right,
on, yeah.
And then
yeah.
there's that. Yeah. But until this conflict, I had never really cared much about the Israel-Palestine conflict. Never really dug into it. Matter of fact, I remember reading, you know, having some issues with Jimmy Carter, and like, I didn't like Jimmy Carter because I'm a right winger, and I'm like, oh, he's anti-Semitic actually, because he wrote and without even really knowing much about it. But there was always a few things that I'd hear Ben Shapiro and, you know, Prager say where I'm like, that doesn't make sense, but you know what? I'm just not going to listen to it.
Right.
So this whole thing happens. I'm like, I'm going to dive in. So I dove in, and now I'm just like, okay, wait a second.
the great noticing.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Well, even taking that aside, just how this thing came about, you know, my friend I'm staying with, and he's kind of talking to me about this. I go, just answer me this one question. You live in Gaza. You want to travel somewhere. What does your passport say?
Yeah.
He goes, Palestine? I go, nope.
Nope.
What does your passport say? Well, you're a refugee. And then he keeps saying, well, the country, I go, it's not a country. Sorry, let's just, we're pulling little threads out and we're defining it specifically. Now it's really hard for you to have straw man arguments.
Well, here's the thing. Sorry, my throat's really dry. Here's the thing.
Hey, get him some water.
Water.
No, here's the thing. So if you're a Christian, and I'm going to say this to the camera, if you're a Christian, you better get real comfortable getting called an anti-Semite, because your religion is now anti-Semitic in the public, and that's just the truth. If you believe in Jesus and you're going to be a loud, proud supporter of the New Covenant, which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the New Covenant in the New Testament, is where Jesus Christ said all of Abraham's sons are people who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, in the Bible, it says the only people who belong in Israel are the sons of Abraham. Okay, so this new covenant is now being pushed in the media and by you know ADL and some of these other people to be a white nationalist replacement theory.
Of course.
So you're becoming an anti-Semite currently in the media right now just for believing in Jesus Christ and the new covenant and the New Testament. So you better get really comfortable being called an anti-Semite or just leave Christianity now. Those are your two options.
You make, well, the crossovers here. So, and we'll kind of maybe finish on this one. Your stance with the anti-war rally and the communists being there, I'm totally with you. I get some of the stuff. And that's where it goes where like, hey, let's use these people. But man, you could be used so easily by right. them by just showing up.
And we were.
Exactly. We were. But I think the concept of it was all good and dandy. So then there's this, which is very similar, which is, okay, you know, pro-Palestine or you know, anti-Israel, or whatever. I don't like this whole conflict thing going on and all these babies being killed. And I don't want to be called anti-Semitic because I'm not.
Are you Christian?
Yes.
Oh, you're anti-Semitic. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Sorry, that's how it works now. Get used to it.
So with that in mind, it's like I also see like these ridiculous lefty college kids, you know, being pro-Palestine, and I'm like, yeah, on this kind of issue, I'm agreeing with them, but fuck, I don't want to be part of them either.
Yeah, me neither.
So that's a dilemma.
Yeah, what would you say? It's a moral dilemma. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, because I want these people removed from my society mostly.
Yeah.
But they're right on this issue.
Yeah.
And I'm not too proud to say that they're right on this issue, but I will not, under any circumstances, put my signature on a line next to one of their signatures and say, we're putting on a rally together. Under no circumstances whatsoever.
By the way, I was listening to their, and I played clips of it years ago, quite a few episodes ago. It was this Muslim chick talking to this rabbi, the Orthodox rabbi, about this kind of stuff. Because yep. he's like, look, I'm not pro-Zionist. He's like, matter of fact, you're trying to do the Lord's work. The Lord says, God says we're going to be back there or whatever, but it's on his timetable. Right. We don't get to do this ourselves. So he's against it. And she goes, well, how do you do with these other groups? He goes, that you disagree with on these things. He goes, oh, no, we'll show up at the place. We are not coordinating with them.
No, absolutely.
We just happened to be there. And he was very distinct on this whole thing. And I'm like, I love you, man. That's
works.
The way to go.
That works. And you know, there are Messianic Jews that believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. They're a very small minority of Jews. But even they are getting labeled anti-Semitic. And you'll see there's some Messianic Jews that live in Israel. And the IDF is beating them in the streets, dude.
Wow.
Just for speaking up. Seriously. It's just the truth, right? And so like, yeah, man. I mean, we can get close to the end on this because this is a salient point for today's history lesson, right? If you're a Christian, you're going to be called an anti-Semite. It's coming. It's already starting. And
do you think there's a point to it? And I'll let you finish that, but it feels like maybe it's a Twitter thing too. There's so much pushback that I've never seen before of just normal people on this aspect, like. You know, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitic, and people are like, fuck you, even Thomas Massie. So with that, continue what you're saying, but do you think there's a pushback against it, even though we're getting more?
And there has to be.
Yeah.
You got to get brave right now. I said this, I was on Ignoramus, or Call Me Ignorant, the other day, which is a Christian nationalist show. I've been doing a lot of Christian nationalist stuff, and he'll be on my show soon, too. And not because I'm a Christian nationalist. I do believe that Christian morals should guide our governance. I do believe that. And I think that God commands that. So if you're a Christian, if you're denying that, then you're probably not a very good Christian. But I don't think that means I have to legislate every single thing that I find moral. But I do think that murder should be illegal, you know? So
you have an ex-wife,
but I was on the show.
Mom, you sure you want to go with that? Yeah, murder is illegal.
I am sure. And so when I was on his show, you know, he was like, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, well, people are going to have to start getting brave. That's it. I mean, you know, look, you're going to be called an anti-Semite. You're going to be called a racist. You're going to be called all these things. But if you're not brave, then they're going to win. Yeah. All of these cancel culture warriors and people that are shutting down speech and trying to paint you as these evil, awful, horrible, vile things are going to win if you're not brave.
Yeah.
And you know, it may have sucked, but Shane Gillis was on SNL last night. Okay. Shane Gillis was fired from SNL several years ago for making Chinese voice on a podcast. Yeah. Okay. And he said, fuck you. I'm going to go do my own thing and I'm not going to quit who I am. And then they invited him on SNL last night.
Because he's so big.
And for the first time in history, someone said retarded on yeah. SNL.
Go listen to the monologue. Yeah. It's really good.
He said, well, the rest of it was kind of boring. I think even,
I only saw the monologue.
Yeah, even Shane Gillis couldn't make the show funny, unfortunately. Right. It should be canceled. But
do you think, and I saw you text something out about, or tweet something out. Do you think... because I'm all for it. It's like, fuck you, SNL. This go away, especially with what you did to him. Should we go watch Shane's episode to boost that and then not watch any of it? Or
yes.
Just not watch any of it?
Yes. Watch Shane's episode. And then, it's not very funny. There were two sketches that were pretty good. But even Shane couldn't make that funny. Now, if they fired all their writers and hired all Shane Gillis's, that show would be funny overnight. Guaranteed. It would probably be off of NBC as well, right? I mean, they'd probably take it off. So here's the thing. Yes, watch his episode and then don't ever watch another episode of SNL until they stop cucking to this like mainstream woke narrative. I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah.
I think that Lorne Michaels is an absolute bitch. And Canadian, by the way. And he's a bitch. And so, you know, I don't think that will happen. But, you know, if you're going to try, look, if you're going to be on the right, and these people are going to be trying to cancel you, you're going to have to try to fight fire with fire at some point. If you're not going to be, you know, it worked for Bud Light. Shane Gillis is the spokesman for Bud Light now.
Yeah.
Okay, it worked for Bud Light. So, like, do that more. Keep doing those things because they're going to do it to you.
They're
going to have your business shut down. They're going to have you fired from your job. They're going to have your kids taken away. They're going to do anything they possibly can to fuck you over. So, like, if you're not going to fight that, then just move to another country and let us handle it. I don't know what to tell you, you know?
So with that in mind, you just mentioned Canada. We should go to war with Canada, I think.
We need a wall. We've thought about this thing all wrong. We don't need a wall for the Mexicans. Their food is great. We need a wall for the snow Mexicans at the northern border.
Did you ever see the movie Canadian Bacon? I think that's
John Candy. Absolutely. Do you ever seen Weird Brew or Strange Brew?
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've put out some good things in the past, but not in a lot of years.
Look, the Canadians have a lot of good comedy and, you know, sketch TV shows. We've known about this for years.
Their music, they have some really good
musicians. But they also are, you know, they're Canadian. Okay, look, Josh, I could sit here and talk to you for hours and hours. I appreciate this so much. It's great to actually see you again. Yeah. I saw you in Reno, of course. You were busy. You had COVID. You had kids.
I didn't know I had COVID. I'm sorry that I gave everyone COVID. I never got sick.
I think my wife and I may have got it, but, you know, we had it already. Yeah. And
I never got sick. My kids were all sick and my wife got sick. I never got sick.
So all the best to you and your family.
Thanks, man.
And I'm sure I'll see you around again. But look at that. The handshake heard around the world. I'll just say this. I think I love you talk about standing up. You stand up for your principles. I think that's the best thing we can do. Not everyone feels like they can do it because they may get canceled or whatever.
Sure.
I'll also say Adrian stands up for himself and he's very boisterous and he could be an asshole. I get it. I'm not defending him at all. I think there's some problems here. But this is what happens when you have people that are wanting to stand up for themselves. Even Toad stands up for himself and then quits or whatever.
Yeah, if Adrian really wants to stand up for himself, I'll be out front. He can leave the security in there and come on out, bro.
You'd rip him apart. He's a little guy.
Yeah, be over.
Where can everyone find you? Tell us about your podcast, what you have going on, and then we'll say adieu.
Well, first and foremost, we have the website for the campaign. It's JoshuaSmith2024. There's a lot of things you can do there. You can sign up to volunteer. You can send us money. We currently have matchers for donors that add up to an extra $300. So if you donate, it doubles your money from the matchers. You can also watch our videos, read our platform, sign up for the email list, all those things there. It's all one stop shop for the campaign. We need help. We're in crunch time. We're 3 months out from the national convention. We want this nomination. And when we get the nomination, we want to hit on all four cylinders going out into the general. And so we need all the help we can get. Check me out on the podcast. We're doing Tuesdays and Thursday nights currently. That is at there's all kinds of platforms now. Our main platforms are YouTube and Rumble. That's Break the Cycle. The YouTube is youtube.com/fightthedespots. And then at Rumble, it's Break the Cycle JS. Of course, we're on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Kick now, which is a new platform that's kind of like Twitch, but they let you keep 95% of everything you earn.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's a cool platform. Check us out over there. And of course, my Twitter is Joshua at Large. We do stream the show there. I'm also doing other content now. I do a lot of shorts and stuff because it's been building the YouTube, but I'm doing video game content too. So I'm streaming when I have time to play games and hang out with people on the Twitch, the Kick, and the Twitter. So
I would say, Josh is for you. Just the only recommendation is you're hitting these numbers on Rumble. Push it, man. Yeah. I know you have you're doing all this other stuff, libertarian presidential thing. But yeah,
yeah, we definitely want you on Rumble, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
Keep killing it, and everyone check out our show. It's every Friday in the afternoon. I'll get this. I want to get this one out quick because this is time sensitive. This is a libertarian drama we got here. Yeah. All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Of course.
Okay, I'm leaving now.
But she's back. Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick.
I guess that's me.
Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but... but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, so I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janky, yeah.
I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me,
he'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But anyways,
boomer.